Hey, it's Rick Kettner here. Let's explore three of the top insights from Contagious by Jonah Berger. This book is all about why certain products, businesses, or ideas are more likely to spread through word-of-mouth referral. The book covers six principles of contagiousness, six different factors that you can incorporate into your products or your ideas to make it more likely that they will spread through word-of-mouth referral. In my opinion, word-of-mouth referral is one of the single most powerful marketing strategies that you can use to have more success with your products or your services. So if you're in marketing, if you're in brand communication, or if you're an entrepreneur or inventor that's looking to create a brand new product or service, I highly recommend that you read this book so that you can incorporate some of these ideas to make it more likely that whatever you create reaches a larger audience and has a greater impact in the world. Now, before I actually dive into my three favorite insights, let me just say, if you're interested in learning more about business, marketing, or entrepreneurship, I recommend that you subscribe or follow my updates so that you don't miss out on future videos. And if you enjoy this kind of video where I cover books like this, please let me know by clicking the like button down below. But let's dive into my three favorite insights, which happen to line up with three of the six principles of contagiousness. We're going to cover principle number one, then we'll cover principle number two, and then we'll jump down to principle number four. Starting with principle number one, social currency. One of the core reasons why people share and recommend products to other people is to make themselves look good. They want to share their tastes, their values, their preferences. They want to share the things that they appreciate in the world. And they have an opportunity to earn a sort of social currency by recommending things to other people that are surprising, interesting, or remarkable in some way. So within the context of your product, you want to always be thinking about what's in it for them. Why would somebody want to recommend or share your work? How can they look good by promoting what it is that you've created? Now, in the book, they cover three different ideas on how to accomplish this. I'm going to focus on two of my favorites. Number one, you want to find the inner remarkability of your product. And number two, you want to find ways to help people feel like insiders. So with the first one, is there something novel, surprising, interesting, or extreme about your product? Is there a unique way that it can be used? Do you have a unique story about how somebody actually used your product to achieve something unique? Is there a feature that is really powerful, unique, or surprising? These kinds of things are what motivate people to want to share your message. So if you can focus on these things, highlight these things in your marketing, it makes it more likely that people will grab onto that and then want to share that message with others in order to make themselves look good. Now, the second aspect, when it comes to helping people feel like insiders, you want to ask yourself, can you give people exclusive access? Can you give them special social status? Can you give them some way to feel like an insider when it comes to interacting with your products or your services, because this gives them an extra motivation to want to share the message within the context of making themselves look good. So those are two things to focus on, but the core idea here with social currency is if you want to get people talking, give them a way to make themselves look good while promoting your work. Give them an opportunity to earn social currency by talking about your products, your services, or your ideas. Let's move on to principle number two, triggers. There are two categories when it comes to how people spread things through word of mouth. There's immediate and then there's ongoing. Immediate is something that someone has recently experienced. Maybe they read a particularly good book. Maybe they watched an entertaining movie. And for the next days, weeks to follow, they're excited about it and they want to share that experience with other people, tying into some of the ideas from social currency. But this type of word of mouth typically trails off pretty quickly, right? We don't tend to sit down in conversations with people on a daily basis and go through a highlight reel of everything interesting or remarkable that we've ever experienced in life. Most people tend to focus on the more mundane aspects of life, or at least things that are top of mind, things that are happening in the moment. So when it comes to ongoing, the second category of word of mouth referral, if you want people to talk about your products or your services over an extended period of time, it's really important that you link them to relevant stimuli or environmental cues that your target audience is likely to experience at a moment when they may be interested in your product or service. So let me give you a few examples of this really to drive this home. There's a tool that we use for product management here when it comes to actually putting together these videos and tracking the whole process called Monday or Monday.com. It's a simple visual tool for teams to collaborate on workflows or processes. Now, what's interesting about this is they named the product based on a trigger that we all experience once every single week, right? Monday is a day that we all experience on a regular basis. But more importantly than that, they increase the relevance by choosing the day of the week that is typically associated with when people are reflecting on what got accomplished in the previous week and what the team might want to accomplish in the next week. So it's the perfect day when managers or project leaders are thinking about team collaboration. They're going to think of this trigger and naturally be more inclined to recall or remember that product or service within the context, within the right time to actually want to use it. So for example, if somebody used this tool, let's say 6 months ago, and they haven't used it since, every time a Monday rolls around and they have a need for this kind of tool, they're more likely to be mentally triggered and reminded of its existence. And of course, the more often they use that tool over time on a Monday, the more likely this bond is to be very strong. I'll give you another example of this, very common example actually. Podcasts, they often link the name of their brand or the name of their podcast with the kind of scenario when someone might be consuming podcast content. So for example, when people are drinking coffee, when they're drinking tea, when they're on a commute, maybe when they're out for a walk. So there are podcasts out there with names like Comments Over Coffee, or Gary Vaynerchuk has at least a YouTube show, maybe a podcast called Tea with Gary V. Clever little play on words. But the idea here is you want to link the name of your product, or in some way, whether it's through advertising or the name itself, you want to link that product or that brand or whatever it is that you've created with an environmental cue that people are engaged with on a regular basis. One really important thing to understand here, though, is you need to strike a balance between the frequency of the cue, which is really important. So for example, if somebody drinks coffee 7 times a day, then coffee is a really frequent cue for them. But you also want to balance that with the strength of the cue in terms of how it's linked with whatever it is that you've created. So if a bunch of podcasts out there all call themselves something something coffee, well, the strength of the connection between your brand and that particular cue is going to be weak just because there are so many other brands trying to leverage it. So it's really important to strike a balance between frequency of the cue and strength, the tightness of the bond between what you've created and that cue. And I suspect this is why Gary Vaynerchuk probably went with tea with Gary V. Perhaps he drinks tea, probably a good reason, but I suspect he's also realized that not a lot of podcasts out there are linking with tea. Many of them link with commuting, driving, or with coffee. And so he went a different route to create a stronger bond. But that's a quick example of how to actually use triggers, situations where someone needs your product or service, and to create a linkage, a mental linkage, so that on an ongoing basis, at the specific time when they might be interested in what you've created, they have an environmental cue that you've helped them link with whatever it is that you've created. So the core idea here is, if you want people to remember and share your work, link your product to cues or stimuli in a relevant environment. Very important that it's relevant and it relates to how, when, or why, or where someone might be using whatever it is that you've created. Let's move on to principle number 4. Public observability. Our choices are often impacted by the decisions we see other people make. So if other people are supporting a specific cause or buying certain products, and we can see that, we're much more likely to follow suit and emulate that behavior. And the more likely it is that we can see what they're doing, the more likely it is that we're going to emulate what they're doing. So within the context of contagiousness, we want to make it easier for people to observe other people out there supporting our products or supporting our cause. The unfortunate reality, though, and they talk about this here in the book, is that for most businesses, for most products, services, or even ideas out there, we rarely see publicly the use or adoption of the products or ideas. It's rarely publicly visible. So you want to look for ways to generate public signals for what would otherwise be private choices, actions, or opinions that relate to your business in some way. So I'll give you a few quick examples of this. Let's say one of your coworkers absolutely loves an iPhone app. Well, if you can't see what they're using, you're not going to ever be triggered to consider installing that app yourself. But if there's some way that that developer can create public signals, either by tying into the Facebook news feed or tying into some other aspect of the world that is visible to you, well, you're not going to know about that product unless you see this kind of trigger or cue. So a few more examples of this. Apple, when they design their products, typically they design their products to be very iconic, so they stand out, and so people can recognize just how popular they are. So for example, the design of AirPods is very unique relative to many other headphones out there. So you can see how many people are using AirPods, you're more intrigued about the product, and perhaps more likely to buy a pair yourself. Lululemon, every time you buy a product from Lululemon, even if you order online, they send you a reusable shopping bag that has their logo highly visible on it. So a lot of people take these bags and they end up using them as simple gym bags that they carry their towel, their water bottle when they go to the gym. And so you go to the gym and you might see 5, 6, 7 different people carrying these kinds of bags. And again, because this is publicly observable, you can see other people support the brand and you might be more inclined to consider supporting them as well. Another example would be Livestrong's wristband. This is an example straight out of the book. A lot of people at the time when Livestrong was driving their charity, people would wear this yellow wristband to signal support for the cause. And of course, this wasn't about promoting the idea of wearing a wristband. It was about publicly signaling support for that cause to make other people understand that you're supporting them and maybe they should consider it as well. And the idea here behind public observability is the more people you see with these wristbands, the more likely it is that you're going to want to emulate their behavior and figure out what's going on and why they're wearing the wristband, and you'll look further into the cause and consider supporting it. And in the book, they actually tell an interesting story about the execution of that strategy and how close they were to actually pursuing a more traditional advertising campaign. And then kind of last minute, they decided to go ahead with this wristband approach. And it turned out to be one of the most wildly successful examples of public observability and just a really great example from the book. But the core idea here, just to drive it all home, make it easy for people to show public support for your products, services, and ideas. The easier it is for people to see that others already love what you do, whatever that might be, the more likely they are to consider it themselves. And in many ways, this serves as a public trigger of sorts, where they actively see and not only remember that your product exists, but it's an extra reason for them to consider maybe buying it or engaging with it themselves. So those are three of my favorite insights from the book. Let me quickly recap them here. Principle number one, social currency. Number two, triggers. Jumping down to number four, public observability. Of course, there are three others that we didn't tackle, including using emotion, practical value, and stories. So if you want to learn more about the rest of these principles and see way more practical examples of how to actually use these and leverage these within products and services, I highly recommend that you pick up a copy of the book. If you're in marketing, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an innovator, if you're a product creator, if you have anything that you want to help more people spread through word of mouth, I highly recommend that you read this book. One of my favorite books when it comes to marketing strategy. That's it for this video. If you enjoyed the video, please click the like button down below to let me know. If you have any questions or comments about anything that we covered here in this video or anything about this book, let me know down in the comment section. We can chat about it there. And if you want to learn more about business, marketing, or entrepreneurship, I recommend that you subscribe or follow my updates so that you don't miss out on future videos. Thank you for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.